السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عبادت that we make, it falls into two categories. One is متعلق بالظاهر, meaning it is connected to the outside, external. So this متعلق بالظاهر, our salah, hajj, tilawat of Quran Sharif, zikrullah, all this is ibadat that you can see from the outside. You can see that the person is carrying out some ibadat. Then you get that ibadat that is muta'allaq bil batin, that means it is connected with the inside. It is connected with the internal, with one's inside. So this is our akhlaq, our character. Now we are accountable for both types of ibadat. Those ibadat that are connected with the outside, as well as those ibadat that are connected with the inside. Of the two, it is extremely important that a person sorts out his batin. He must not be content with the outward actions. He must sort out his inside. Right? Sometimes there can be a form of an ibadat, the outer form of an ibadat, but the person, if his batin is not sorted out, he is getting guna in that ibadat. There is an outer form of ibadat, but if his inside is not sorted out, then he is actually getting guna. When a person will sort out his inside, then a person will attain tranquility. He will attain istiqamat. There will be tranquility, there will be istiqamat. And you will find that this person is not like a soda water. Not like soda water josh. One day he is making ibadat, one day he leaves it out, all that. That happens when the inside is not sorted out. When the inside is sorted out, and a person is doing for Allah Ta'ala, then you will find that there is permanence, there is istiqamat in his ibadat. Part of the inside is khushu. Khushu, khudu. Now what is khushu? When we talk about khushu, that you must bring khushu into your salah. Generally you hear this, you must bring khushu into the salah. Not that khushu is confined to salah. Right? So what is khushu? Khushu is to avoid bringing thoughts of anything other than Allah Ta'ala. That at all times, a person's thought is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't bring any thought other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately into his ibadat. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions that take note of the word deliberately, because the mind, lot of things come and go. But as long as the person is not deliberately bringing those thoughts, he's not entertaining those thoughts, he doesn't have to worry about it. What just comes and goes, he doesn't have to worry about it. Hazrat Mohammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained it very beautifully. He said that the mind is like a national highway. So, on the national highway, you will get all types of vehicles there. Sometime you will even get a truck that is transporting pigs also. A truck is transporting pigs. So now what must you do? You don't have to get so perturbed now. I'm stuck in the traffic here behind this truck with the pigs now. What's my situation? No. As soon as you get an opening, you put your indicator on, you pass and carry on. If you don't get an opening, you're stuck behind the truck, what you going to do? You're stuck behind the truck. There's no problem. But you don't start concentrating on the pigs now. You don't start concentrating there on the pigs, or you start now going into a depression and state of anxiety. Now, why this big truck came in front of me? And no. You don't worry about it. So those thoughts that come involuntarily, that has come into the mind, you don't bother about it. Put your indicator and continue. You don't worry about it. No matter how bad the thought may be. In fact, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they also complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes while we are reading salah, such thoughts come to our mind that we are ashamed to even mention it. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that this is a sign of your iman. That means you got iman. Because if a person doesn't have iman, then he won't mind mentioning it. He won't bother. It won't worry him also if these thoughts come. So the fact that they were getting worried with these thoughts, that showed that they have iman in them. That's why they're getting worried. Otherwise, if a person doesn't have iman, he won't worry about the thoughts. So we mustn't deliberately bring about thoughts other than Allah Ta'ala. Thoughts that come ghair ikhtiyari, don't worry about it. They are of no consequence. Then it is not only in namaz that khushu is essential. Right? This concept of khushu must be with us all the time. We must not have ghairullah in our hearts. Anything that we do, we must be doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that we do, we must be doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is referred to as huzur-e haq. That the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there all the time. All the time there is a presence of Allah ta'ala. No matter what a person is doing, but he is conscious that Allah Rabbul Izzat is watching me. So when Allah Ta'ala is watching me, then whatever I am doing, I must do it for Allah Ta'ala. I must do it in a manner that conforms with the laws of Allah Ta'ala. The sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? If this huzur-e haq is not there, then we will find that even in our dini work also, even in our dini work, we will bring such things in that the dini work also won't be regarded as an ibadat anymore. It won't be regarded as an ibadat anymore. And we will start doing things in our deen or dini khidmat, which in our thought we will think, no, we're doing wonders. But we're doing it contrary to the shariat. We're doing it against the commands of Allah. Then it won't even be regarded as ibadat anymore. So namaz is a zahiri ibadat. The shakal, namaz, ruku, sajda, is all connected with the zahir, with the outside. But while we're doing that, the batin must be connected with Allah Ta'ala. The inside, the heart, the mind, this must be connected with Allah Ta'ala. Right? When this happens, then this will be regarded as ibadat. The zahir is how Allah wants us to do it, and the batin is connected with Allah Ta'ala, then this is regarded as ibadat. See, take an example. A person is sitting, is a student of Deen, right? Is sitting in the classroom. It can be a lesson of tafsir. Nothing greater than Quran Sharif. A lesson of tafsir is taking place. In front of him, he has got a tafsir opened in front of him. But his mind is not there at all. His mind is not there at all. He is dreaming about something else. He got a pen, he's drawing on motor car. In his notebook, he's drawing on motor car. His mind is not there at all. Will that be studies? Can you call that studies? Outwardly, his parents will say, my son is studying. The madrasa will say, he's present in class. The ustad will say, he's present in class. But in his book of deeds, what's being written down? What's being written down? And if he is voluntarily bringing filthy thoughts in his mind at that time, he's voluntarily dreaming about something that is guna, and he is playing that reel in his head, and he got a tafsir in front of him. Now he's getting guna. He's getting guna now. It's a sinful thing. So you see how important the batin is. You can be doing the greatest ibadat. Hajj time is coming now, right? Hajj is coming. A person goes for Hajj, but he is going to show off. I got so many Hajj under my belt. I mean, every year I go. Now, is that Hajj ibadat? It's not ibadat. A person is going for Hajj, he is making tawaf, but he's more worried about how his selfie is looking. He got the stick there and he's busy videoing himself and he's going. A person is walking to go and make salam to Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest meeting on earth. There can't be a better meeting on earth. The person is going to make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest meeting on earth. Amongst the people is the greatest meeting, right? But while he's going there, he's more worried about filming, he's more worried about phoning that one, hey, I'm here now. He's busy chit-chatting with his companions, and he's going to make salam. Now, will this really be an ibadat? Or is the person in a state of ghaflat now? In a state of heedlessness. A person can be going to do charitable work. He's going now to Syria, or he's going to wherever. Going to do charitable work. But now, instead of, while he's there, he's looking at all the women. And he's taking delight in looking at the woman. So now, is his charitable work ibadat now? You know, ibadat, he's getting guna. He's being sinful. So if the batin is not right, then even our ibadat, which we think is ibadat, there will be guna. A person comes into the masjid, and he comes away early also into the masjid, which is a great ibadah. Come into the masjid, you come early. But now he's sitting in the masjid and he's talking. Why is he talking? Because there's no huzur e haq. The thought of Allah Ta'ala is not there. Hazrat Muhammadul Haq Magda Sahab Naam Barakatuhu, he says that when we coming to the masjid, we don't have this thought that I'm going to meet Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to make ziyarat of Allah Ta'ala. We don't have the thought in our heart and mind. Because the closest you can get to Allah Ta'ala is in salah, in sajda. So the person doesn't have this in his mind that I am going now to make ziyarat of Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't have that in his mind. So now when he comes into the masjid, now he's still talking, worldly things talking, he's yapping away something else. And other people who are reading salah are getting disturbed. So now he's coming to the masjid. Is it ibadat or is he committing guna? He's coming into the masjid. Is it ibadat or is he committing guna? He's disturbing other people, he's reading namaz, he's talking about worldly affairs, his voice is being raised in the masjid. Now is this sitting of his in the masjid, is it ibadat? Or is he now getting guna for his action? Understand? Qurbani is coming just now. A person now, he just wants to buy that big animal because he wants to put in his Facebook. He wants to put on his Facebook page what kind of animal he bought, how much he paid for it. In the auction I went and I outbid everybody else. And he think now is some form of ibadat now. Is riyakari, anything is ibadat. He's taking his wife to the farm. So many hundreds of people there. No parda whatsoever. Right? And then he's saying, no, it's mustab, she must slaughter her own animal. So now in front of all the men now, she's slaughtering her animal. Other people are taking video of her. What ibadat? Where's the ibadat? Such a great ibadat of Qurbani, what is reduced to? Hajj, what is reduced to? Everything, what is being reduced to? Why? Because the batin is not right. There's no huzur-e-haq. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. I must do this for Allah Ta'ala. When I'm doing it for Allah Ta'ala, then I have to do it in a manner that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. When that goes away, then even these great forms of ibadat is reduced to nothing. Sometime the obligation is fulfilled, but there's no sawab. And at other times, depending on the situation, the person is even getting guna. Sometime you get a situation. There's four, five brothers, right? Four, five brothers in a family. And the one brother is living with the parents. We say, my parents are living with me. If the son owns the house, so he say, no, my parents are living with me. I'm looking after my parents. It's the other way around. We living with our parents. They're looking after us. We're not looking after them. Sometimes when a person is living with his parents, is making his parents khidmat. Allah Ta'ala is giving him rozi because of that. It's not that now I have to spend so much on them. No. He's getting his rozi because they are there. If the day they're not there, he won't get that rozi. So now if there's four or five brothers, and now the one brother, he's living with the parents, and he's making their khidmat. Right? So what a great ibadat. But now, if he is looking down on his other brothers, they don't come, they don't do this, they don't do that. Whole time you are making ghibat about, right? Him and his wife, they're making ghibat. Right? Yeah, this will don't come, don't do this, don't do that. Once in a while, they just pitch up here and throw them up. So now, what is he doing with this great ibadat Allah is giving him mocha? What is he doing now? He's throwing the whole thing away. There are so many things like this, if you really look into it, right? Look into it. So many things that we're doing. But because our batin is not right, now we end up making rebirth, we end up fighting, we end up doing so many things, looking down on people, whatever. We're throwing all our sawab away. All the sawab is thrown away. So this is how important it is that this batin must be sorted out. The inside has to get sorted out. Tazkiyah has to be made. Then that outward form of ibadat will really become an ibadat. When the inside is connected, then now it will be really become ibadat. So all the necessary branches, offshoots of our lives will then be connected to ibadat. If a person is farming also, it will become ibadat. If he is in business, it will become ibadat. His marriage life will become ibadat. His khidmat-e-khalq will become ibadat. Everything that he is doing, even his mundane activities, his worldly activities too, will become ibadat if his batin is connected with Allah Ta'ala. Now, if the batin is not connected with Allah Ta'ala, then what is a form of ibadat? Sometimes he can be getting guna for it. And on the other hand, if the batin is connected with Allah Ta'ala, then sometimes something that looks like a worldly thing, is a worldly thing, is a mundane activity, that too becomes ibadat. Because the person is connected with Allah Ta'ala. So we have to sort the inside, has to get sorted out. We can't just leave it, we have to sort it out. So everything in our lives, everything will then become ibadat. Now, when doing this, one is the form of the ibadat, the other is, the batin must be sorted out. But there's one more important ingredient. The action has to be carried out in accordance with the laws of Allah Ta'ala and the sunnat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in order to do that, you have to obtain ilm. See? You have to obtain ilm. This ilm is so important that even at the time of jihad, also, unless it is that type of a jihad where, you know, the Amirul Mu'mineen, he makes announcement now that we are being attacked by a huge army or something, and now everybody has to take part in that jihad. It's for us, for everyone, to take part in that jihad. So then no matter who it is, no matter what their work is, no matter what their engagements is, they have to just down everything, drop the tools, pick up the weapons. They have to drop tools, pick up the weapons, and go in jihad. You have to leave everything and go in jihad. But if it is not that type of a jihad, if it's a jihad that now X amount of people are required, they bring, the Amir Mu'mineen said, right, we need 500 troops, or we need 5,000 troops. So at that time, there must always be a group of people that remain behind to study the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Because if you don't keep the ilm-e-deen alive, then even the jihad won't be jihad. The salah won't be salah. The hajj won't be hajj. The roza won't be roza. If ilm al-deen is not kept alive. And it's not a far-fetched thing. One day one man came. He came to Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he said, Hazrat, my wife passed away, and I finished search for iddat also. So now I'm ready to get married now. What is he saying? He's saying, my wife passed away, and I finished search for iddat also. He said for iddat, the man. So Hazrat asked him, he said, but you said for iddat. He said, yeah, no, the town people, they told me, I must sit for iddat, 4 months, 10 days. So I sit on for iddat. Now my iddat is over. So now I'm ready to get married now. You see, jahalat. Hazrat was telling us that in one place in India, they got a new imam came in. So the people didn't have an alim in the village. So now the one alim came, he started making imamat. So now there was a janaza. So now they came to call the imam sahab. He must come and perform the janaza namaz. If you finish, give ghusl, kafan and everything, then come make the janaza namaz. So he went there, he see the kafan is full of blood. Blood is dripping. So asking him, so what happened here? He said, no. We chopped off his left hand. No. Why he chopped off his left hand? He said, no, that's what we do here. We chop off the left hand. Anybody pass away, we chop the left hand. So why you chop the left hand? He said, because if you receive a book of deeds in the right hand, then you're successful. So now the fellow may make a mistake, so we just chop the left hand out so he can't take with the left hand. See, jahalat. This is why, you see, ilm must be kept alive. Anything you want to do in your life, you must require the proper ilm. Right? Now, sometimes you get people in the towns, right? In the burial societies and all that. So now, the old people who were there, they're giving ghusl in a certain way. Right? Now, the young people that come in, from whom they learned how to give ghusl? They tell you from these same people, these old people. If you try to educate them, the how you're giving ghusl is wrong. No. We learned. We've been like this so many years, we've been like this. But they're making israf in the ghusl. They're making israf in the ghusl. But you can't tell them. Because they said, no, we learned. So each generation, now each new person that comes in, who you learn from? The same person. That person himself is ignorant. The ignorant is teaching the ignorant. And then the ignorance becomes the norm. That becomes the norm. And anybody tries to change it now. Generations we're doing like this, now where are you coming from? You want to change this thing. Some places you go, you're supposed to take a little bit camphor, a little bit ether mixed with the camphor or something. You put a little bit on the places of sajda. In some places you go, they take a whole ether bottles, putting on the whole face, the whole beard, everywhere they put ether, they're getting for free. People are sponsoring and giving. Who said must do that? And you try to educate, then no. This is all, we all got our own ways. We only got one Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had one way. You got to follow his way. Can't have your own ways. But for generations and generations, people will continue doing the wrong thing when there's no ilm. And there's no ilm. You see people picking up the janaza in the after they make janaza namaz, right? Now they come pick up the body. Now you get one bright spark there. Kalima shahadat, ashadun. Everybody think now that they're all rich. Nobody tells them what you're doing is wrong. Because all the people involved are ignorant, and the ignorant are following the ignorant. And if somebody who is knowledgeable tries to educate, no, we all got our own ways. All got our own ways. So this is what will happen in Brazil. When the Jamaat started going from South Africa to Brazil, so now to find the Muslims, right? So they used to go to the Kabristan. And they see now one surname. So now they'll go to the town, right? Okay, we're looking for this family, right? Then slowly now they'll try and find that one Muslim here, one. Most of them had become murtad, right? Left Islam. But one ajeeb thing, when they go to the Kabristan, they see there's one fish tank there, by the Kabr, you know. One fish tank, no fish inside. One tank, like, you know, like a glass tank. Inside there is one musalla, one tasbih, one Quran Sharif. Now, say, what is this now? Every Kabr, you've got this glass thing here, you've got one tasbih inside, one Quran Sharif, one musalla. So they say, no man, this bichara fellow, he was so busy in his life, you know, doing this, they didn't get time for ibadat now. Now he passed away, he's in the Kabr now so many years, what else he's gonna do? So if he wants, he got one Quran Sharif here, one musalla, one tasbih, he can make ibadat and carry on. You see the jahalat. The level of jahalat. Allah Ta'ala, this ilm, don't ever think that other things will precede ilm al-deen, no. If ilm al-deen is not there, everything will go off. You can think your batin is right, your zahir is right, everything you'll be thinking, everything is right. But if you're not doing it the way Allah wants it to be done, then it's zero. It's zero. So ilm al-deen is a very, very important thing. And anything you want to do in your life, you must obtain the knowledge. Obtain the knowledge. You want to go hunting, obtain the ilm with regards to hunting. What are the masail? If I shot that animal and I came there, now never mind I read Bismillah and I shot, but when I came there the animal is still alive, now what am I supposed to do? All the laws you must learn. You want to go fishing, learn the laws of fishing. You don't fish for sport, you fish to eat. And now what you can use, what methods you can use, the other day I was so impressed. One brother, he said to me that he goes fishing, he take his sons, you know, bring some say. So we got few rules. One is that no namaz, we mustn't miss any salah, you know. All the namazes must be in order. We mustn't miss our namaz. So number two, we fish only to eat. Or to feed others. You don't fish for sport. Don't just fish, you know, catch and release, put back and just to catch and all that. We catch to eat or to feed. Right? So, two, three, you know, good points. You say he made a rules with his sons. You must follow these rules. But then he asked me a question. He says, Morana, the type of fishing we do, so you use these artificial frogs, right? And artificial fish. And so he said, now Morana, is this thing not murat? Is this not murat now? Now where his mind is going now? See, when there's huzur e haq. I didn't find out the masla if it's a problem to use these things. We're not muftis, we can't just say no problem and there is problem to find out from the muftis, right? But the people who do certain kind of fishing, now they use a frog, they use some kind of a lure, it's all plastic or whatever it's made of. But now where his mind is going, because there's huzur-e-haq, that these things, now we don't buy dolls for our daughters because that's murad, right? We don't buy horses, animals because it's murad. So this thing here now, does it fall under the category of murad? Can we use it? Because not a zarurat, you can catch it with something else. So is it now, will this also fall under the category of murad? I was really impressed with this question. I said, look at this person, where his mind is going. Why? Because it's huzur-e-haq. But I don't want to do anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all tawfiq. Give us all tawfiq. Tawfiq to make amal, tawfiq to understand our deen. Allah Ta'ala, give us a heart that is receptive, rather than argumentative. When haq is spoken to us, we must be able to accept it and understand that, look, I've got to educate myself. I've got to learn and I've got to do things the right way, the correct way. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.